This morning, I have the privilege of introducing to you Jeremy and Lori Bays. Jeremy, Lori, where are you? Oh, they're all the way back there. Do that again. There, everybody see Jeremy and Lori. Praise God. So it is my privilege this morning to introduce Jeremy and Lori to you. You may have met them. They have been fellowshipping with us. How long now, Jeremy? Okay. And it's just great having them here. As I've gotten to know Jeremy and Lori, him and I were sitting together talking at one of our Sunday suppers, and we both discovered that we pastored together in the same community, but we never knew each other. It took us all this time to discover each other. So that was in northern Indiana, where he and I both pastored churches there in that community. And so it's just really nice to get to know them, and they are such a great blessing. And so Jeremy, just a little history for Jeremy. He received his first local minister's license in the Church of the Nazarene in 1990. He has now pastored for over 28 years in many positions, including a Native American ministry. He has been married to Lori, coming up on 32 years. Congratulations. Jeremy, you can kind of work your way up here, brother. Praise God. Jeremy and Lori have three children, and they are now grandparents. Praise God. And so Jeremy figured out that and then Jeremy has been helping us with the youth. Come on up here, Jeremy. I'm going to hand, you've got your headset on. I don't need to hand you the mic.
Down.
Okay. Praise God. Jeremy's been helping us with the youth, which we greatly appreciate. Yeah. His humor and his spontaneousness, which you need in youth group.
Right.
God bless you, Jeremy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That's
good. Good morning. Hey, today I am the substitute. So, like Pastor Tom said, we've been coming here since around Thanksgiving time or so. So I haven't met every one of you. So on the count of three, please tell me your name. One, two, three. Well, it's nice to meet you. As Pastor Tom said, my name is Jeremy, and I'm here to talk to you tonight. This morning, about God's messengers. Have you been following the story? Have you seen a theme or that red thread running all the way from the very beginning, all the way up now where we're at to the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah? All the way up through Christ, all the way up through the epistles, and all the way up through Topeka, Kansas. The story really hasn't changed. The players and the messengers and the message haven't really changed all that much. Do you remember reading through the scriptures and seeing these words? And Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you think, my goodness, what a bunch of blockheads. Because, you know, two pages before that, you know, God blessed them and everything was wonderful and everyone was happy and there was buffets for, anyway. And then Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. I remember seeing that and thinking to myself, wow, what a bunch of, they just didn't get it, did they? But then I did something radical, something weird, something crazy. I put my name in there. And Jeremy did evil in the sight of the Lord after God blessed him. You ever do that? Don't do it. It's crazy. Because you realize that, you know, things aren't all that different. Well, as we're walking through the story, we get to this point now where Israel's a divided kingdom. We have Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And if you remember from last Sunday how to tell the difference, remember? Something about A, B, C, D, something or other, and something's on top and something's on the bottom. And Remember that? Israel being with an I starts makes it northern-ish, I guess. I don't know where that came from, but and then Judah being the J is on the south. So Israel, we're at a time where we have a divided kingdom, and this kingdom has broken up, and we have Rehoboam and Jeroboam and all the other Boams hanging around. And now we're a couple hundred years later, and we're at a point in which we hear God began to speak to these two kingdoms. And tonight, I'm sorry, I'm used to preaching in the evening. Today, this morning, we're going to be looking at a prophet by the name of Amos. Now, Amos is famous because he has a cookie chain. No, wait, that's another Amos. That's not the same Amos, all right, in case you were wondering. He does not have a chain of cookies that are delicious. It's Mrs. Fiat. No, that's not it either. Amos is a prophet in the south, in Judah. And Amos got the word from God one day. Well, he was out. He was a fig tree farmer and also a shepherd. And he was out there shepherding and fig treeing. And God spoke to him and said, hey, get off your tail and go up north. Now, see, I know a little bit about shepherding. Because one of the things that I used to enjoy in California is I raised llamas. And roll that beautiful llama footage. So there's a couple of my llamas. The white one is Cammy, and the black or the grayish one, the brown one is, I got that mixed up. The brown one is Cammy, and the white one is Curly. And that's my daughter there who's in the back and probably rolling her eyes right now going, Dad, why in the world do you do that? She's not that young anymore. But we herd llamas. We shepherded, we herded, we had llamas. And llamas are a lot like sheep, a lot like goats. They take a lot of your attention. So as Amos was back there in the hill countries of Judah, God spoke to him and said, take yourself up to the north into Israel. And I want you to talk to one of the kings there. His name happens to be Jeroboam, again, the second. And I have a message for you. And Amos is like, okay, God, well, what is it? I'm sure it's a great message. You know, I got my pencil and got my paper. All right, here we go. Jeroboam the second. And what do you have to say to him, God? Okay, the message is pretty simple. Okay, what's that? I hate it. Okay, what is it that you hate? Pretty much everything they're doing. Okay, so my message, my what? Okay, the message here is I hate everything you're doing. And that's where we come into the book of Amos. So if you can find in your scriptures that little tiny book hidden in the back, it's a minor prophet. His name is Amos. We're going to be looking at that today. So I'm jumping with Amos chapter 5, verse 21. And this is kind of the heart of the story. Amos chapter 5, verse 21. I'll give you about an hour to find it because it's tucked way back there in the back of the Old Testament, that is, the minor prophet. Amos chapter 5, verse 21 says, I hate and I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench unto me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But, verse 24, but let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you not bring me sacrifices and offerings? 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel. You have lifted up the shrine to your king, the pedestal to your gods, the star of your gods, for which you have made yourself. Therefore, I will send you in exile beyond Damascus. Thus saith the Lord, whose name is God Almighty. Pretty blunt message to bring to your neighbors up north, huh? Imagine God telling you, hey, let's see, go to Nebraska and tell all of them that I hate pretty much everything they're doing. It's a pretty harsh message. But God is an interesting God, and the fact that he doesn't speak ill without offering a solution. Look at this verse right here. Chapter 5, verse 24. How do you fix it? This. Let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And then that'll take care of the problem. So I can say this was several hundred years ago, actually couple thousand years ago. And we are at a point now where we have let justice roll like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream, and we've achieved it. Good job. Let's go home. Or not. Are we at a point where justice is flowing all around us? Righteousness is everywhere? Are we at that point, peoples? Strange. I'm not sure. This passage was quoted by many people and over many, many years. One of the most recent being with Martin Luther King Jr. in his I Had a Dream speech. He talked about this very verse here. And so being the geek that I am, being the learned scholar that I am, I decided to dive into this and try to kind of unpack it and see what I can find. And I found a few things. One, I don't know much of anything. I found that out. But number two, I looked at the word justice. And I looked at that pretty hard. So justice. So for those of you who read Hebrew, I put the Hebrew up there. I don't read Hebrew. That's just a bunch of chicken scratch to me, but I'm going to pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Okay, that Hebrew word up there, mishpar, has a definition that says it is an action taken to correct injustice. How many people in the world have seen something wrong, and you know it's wrong, and you don't do anything about it? Whatever that might be. Someone stole your lunch money, and you know that's wrong. You know, my kids were homeschooled. That way, when their lunch money was stolen, it stayed in the family. Anyway, how many of you have seen other things wrong in the world, but yet you haven't bothered to do anything about it? Even something as simple as speaking up, acting out, casting a vote, whatever it might be. Actions. Actions, that's the focus there. This is an action used to correct injustice. I can give you a list, a mile long, about all the injustices I see in the world. One, coffee's free everywhere, but Pepsi isn't. That's an injustice. No, anyway, I don't drink coffee, I drink Pepsi. Anyway, actions. What can you do? More specifically and more importantly, has God called you to do? This is a action to do. Not too long ago, I don't see her right now, but we were talking about Mary's Choice, and we brought in baby bottles and diapers and wipes and things like that. And not too long ago, I got to meet a recipient of some of those things. And she was talking to me about what a blessing that was. And I decided, you know, I need to do something. And so I emailed Mary's Choice and I said, hey, what can I do to help? Because this ministry is important. What can you do? to help? What has God called you to do? Now, Amos is looking at the northern tribes of, Israel, excuse me. And he sees them bringing in sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. And they're worshiping at their temples. They have basically three temples in this area now. They have the actual real temple in Jerusalem. And King Jeroboam said, you know, to go from Jerusalem to Bethel is 130 miles one way. And that's a long way to walk. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile yet, so they had to all walk. Now, 130 miles, what is that? Like maybe to Wichita or something? Can you imagine taking a hike over to Wichita? Now, let me make it even better for you. You had to do it three or four times a year. Now, let me make it better for you. You had to bring your entire family. One more time. And your extended family got to go with you. Yay. All right. So now imagine bringing everybody you know for a 130 mile walk. From, say, Bethel down to Jerusalem. And so Jeroboam's like, hey, I got an idea. Travel size for your convenience. We'll make a temple up here, and you can just worship whatever you want. And we'll also put one in Dan, because that's closer as well. That's kind of centrally located, so those people around, you know, the middle area, they can go there and worship. And then pretty soon, because they're Israelites, 20 minutes later, they're worshiping some cow in the desert somewhere. I don't know. Those temples got corrupted. And God's looking at this and saying, something's wrong. I despise your burnt offerings. I despise your sacrifices. I despise your worship because it's not real. It's not authentic. It's not true. Mishpah, what can you do to correct that? Now, the second word here in verse 24, let justice roll like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Righteousness. Tzedakah. I had to pronounce that, or I had to practice that pronunciation. Tzedakah, righteousness. It's a right relationship, no matter what social or economic or political or any differences you may have. It's right relationship with each other. It's right relationships with your God. It's right relationships with each other through God. Is it possible to be on opposite ends of a debate or a conversation or an argument and still love the other person? As long as it's not Thanksgiving, okay. All right, it is. Is it right to have different opinions, different ideas, different thoughts, and still love the other person? Is it right to come together even though we're not the same and still gather in love? That's right relationships. Tzedakah, righteousness. Doing what's right. Right relationships, no matter what or where or how we got here. I celebrate differences. I celebrate the fact that we're not all the same. You know what? It'd be boring if you were all like me because I would know your jokes. Just be like, yep. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. 31 years. I can say like the first three words and she's like, okay, I know this one. I think I became funny after the 30th year. I became unfunny or something. Oh, 30th minute. Oh, I'm sorry. 30th minute. 30 minutes later, it was not so funny. Okay. So we were having a very deep philosophical discussion in Sunday school, and Nick and I both decided there's two people in these worlds, those that get Monty Python and the Holy Grail and those who don't. So we'll just see where you fall, pretty much. Righteousness. Right relationships despite our differences. We can bring our sacrifices. We can bring our injustices to God and say, God, take care of. What do we do about it? Well, there's another minor prophet spoken of who said this. I don't have a slide for it because I just want to read it. Micah 6. Now, this is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, okay? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Have eternal life. This is the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. Mercy, I think there's a song about that somewhere. So just saying. That's the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. From a minor prophet, you know, a minor prophet, not, you know, a minor key, but someone who's not important, a minor prophet, gave us the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. But what comes before that? Micah 6:6, it says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before this exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and thousands of gallons of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But to do justice, mishpar, and to love mercy, tzedakah, and to walk humbly before your God. It's amazing how they go together because they're written by the same author. I'm not talking about Micah. I'm not talking about Amos. I'm talking about God. God doesn't just say it once. God keeps saying it over and over and over again until we finally get it. I'm glad. I wonder if my parents are listening on the live stream or something. If they are, hey, I'm glad that they didn't tell me once to not touch the stove. They told me over and over. They told me once. I learned pretty quick when it was hot. I'm glad my parents didn't tell me once, don't stick a fork in the light socket. No, they tell you over and over and over. I'm glad my parents once said, no, playing Matchbox cars on the freeway is not a good idea. They had to tell me over and over and over. God's just like that, isn't he? He sees us going along the path of our destruction. And he's not just going to say, well, I told them once, so they didn't listen. Oh, well. Natural consequences. Oh, I guess not. God, being the loving father that he is, cares about his children. His children here, Israel. His children here, Judah. His children here, Topeka, Kansas. His children here, Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene. He cares about his children. So long ago, in my youth, I was inspired by the words of a great thinker. His name was Ben Parker. He said, with great power comes great responsibility. Okay, that's Spider-Man's uncle. But he's not wrong, is he? Israel had a place in the world, and that place was a chosen place. That place was a special place. And God chose Israel, not because they were the best and the brightest, but because they were the bottom of the barrel. It's like, if I can make them my chosen people, then anyone's okay. Let's stir that up. Israel was God's chosen nation. Therefore, with this great something or other comes great something or other else and great something or other for their sins, but also great something or other. Israel was God's chosen nation. Therefore, with this great calling came this great responsibility and also great consequences for their sins. But God doesn't stop there. He offers his great forgiveness. Aren't you glad God doesn't stop there? Says, okay, here's the consequences for your sin. You're a horrible person. You're an awful person, whatever. And all right, we're done now. End of the lesson. Sunday school's out. Go home now. But God offers his great forgiveness as well. And even here, where this nation was falling to wickedness, this nation was doing just about everything you can imagine that was against God's will. God still provides. God still cared. God still came to them. In Amos chapter 9, verse 11, it says this. In that day, which is the great day of the Lord, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair his broken walls. I will restore its ruins. I will rebuild it to the way it used to be, so that they may possess the remnants of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these great things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains. And follow from all the hills. And I will bring my people Israel back from exile. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel on its own land, never to be uprooted again from the land I have given them. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. If you read through the book of Amos, it's a pretty much doom and gloom all the way. I hate this. I hate that. This is horrible. You guys are messed up. I don't understand what you're thinking all the way through. But then you get to chapter 9. The first part is like, you know, you want the day of the Lord? Okay, it's coming. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me, or some the other way around. I don't know. But then he gets down to this last paragraph in the book, the closing words from Amos, and says, I will forgive. I will rebuild. I will restore. I'll make things new again. Has God said that to you? Have you got to the point where it's no use? I've walked too far away from God. It's no use. God doesn't hear me anymore. God doesn't see me. God doesn't listen to me. Or maybe it's even worse. I don't listen to God anymore. I don't need to hear from him. I don't need to talk to him. I don't need God in my life. We've all felt that. Some of us have taken actions and walked away from God. I don't know, a long time ago I heard a preacher say that no matter how far we've walked away from God, back to God is just as simple as one step. Step is pretty simple, but very, very, very difficult, very complex in the nature of things. In our upper story, God is pleading to restore the relationship we had in Eden with him. I want to walk with you in the cool of the evening. Yesterday, the evening was pretty nice and cool. Today's supposed to be the same. I want to walk with you. I want to speak with you face to face. I want to be there with you this entire time. But we're like, no, I'd rather not have the God of the universe as my friend. I would rather do something else. As I said, as far as we've walked away from God, that's all it takes to get back. Where do you find yourself today? Let's pray together, shall we? Elohim Adonai, we praise you. We thank you so much for being our God, not just the God of Israel, but the God of Topeka, Kansas. Not just the God of Topeka, but the God of the Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene. Not just the God of Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene, but our personal Lord and Savior, our Christ, our Messiah. You have paid the price for our sin, and you hold your hands out, and you simply say, come, I offer this unto you. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making it easy to find our way back. Give us the guidance. Give us the strength. Give us the ability to find you, to search for you and to find you in the mundane as well as the grandiose. Help us, Lord, to see injustice in the world and bring about your justice. Help us, Lord, to see unrighteousness and bring about your righteousness. Help us, Lord, to usher in your kingdom so that we can declare, just like in the Lord's Prayer that you taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, your will be done in Topeka as it is in heaven, in my life as it is in heaven. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our exalted Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed. His grace runs deep. While I was slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes,
one of the things I admire about Pastor Brent is his eloquent benedictions. It makes you feel like God is walking with you as you leave the church, right? I don't have that. I'm like, bye, see ya. You know, that's kind of my style. But you know what? God is walking before us today, isn't he? God's already walked the road. You know, maybe this would be a great benediction. In my Father's house, there's a place for me, huh? And the last part, it's gone. The last part, I'm a child of God. Yeah, I am. Yes, I am. And you know what? As children of the King, what more do you need? You have the authority of God Almighty walking with you. Who cares what the world may bring? Who cares what fiery darts the evil one throws at you? When you have the God of the universe on your side. So walk the road. Find injustice in the world and bring about God's justice. Find unrighteousness and bring about God's righteousness. Because you know what? You represent the King. So let's go together and represent the King of the universe. Amen. You are dismissed.